Today we are doing part two of preparation, as I shared with you yesterday. Today we are going into part two. And remember what I said yesterday? Heto imazo. Hey. Being prepared to take over and to keep the territory. Remember? Say it again. Being prepared to take over and keep the territory. All right. So we shared that. Let's go ahead. Today we'll be doing with part two. And let's go into the book of Psalms. Okay. Psalms 23. From verse 3, 4, and 5. Let's read it, what it says.
He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over.
Did you hear the word you prepare? Come on, somebody say preparation.
Preparation.
You prepare a table before me. Now, if God uses preparation on everything else, that even the things that are coming to you, God prepares them. He does not just give you things. As I'm speaking right now, God is preparing something for you. And there are certain things which God already prepared them. Am I trying to talk to somebody right here? Am I speaking to somebody? If I'm speaking to you, you are speaking to me. Say it again. Say you are speaking to me. I remember long time ago when I began ministry, and it just come from school, and I was ministering. And one single day, I prayed. I said, God, I need a car. I need a car to use in ministry. The reason why I prayed, it is because I know anything you're looking for, someone is keeping it. Anything you're looking for, someone has it. All what it needs to happen is God to show those people your face. Or to mention your name to them. Anything anyone is looking for, someone is having it. There is nothing you're looking for which nobody has it. Whether it's a work, whether it's a job, whether it's a business, whether it's money, anything you're looking for, it is somewhere. All what it takes is God to mention your name or to show them your face. So I said, God, I need a car. And I knew that someone has it. So the car I was looking for, someone was having it somewhere. So I entered in a prayer. I remember very well. I said, God, I need a car. I need to be traveling around. I need to do. So I went into prayer. And there is a privilege I have. I don't know whether it's a privilege, but God favors me so much. But in the course of prayer, he answers me before I finish. Even you. Me, I enjoy it as a divine privilege. So that day, I was in prayer. As I was praying for this, I was like, today I need a miracle to happen. Around 11 in the morning, I didn't even finish the day. Someone called me. He said, hello. I said, yes. He said, did I bless you this year? I said, no. He said, choose any car you want. I said, hello. I said, what are you saying? He said, hello. Is it any car that you're looking for? I will buy you today. I said, Jesus. So I didn't also want to be, overwhelming on the budgets. But I was making a mistake because I was limiting what God was doing on that day. So I chose a small, you know me being me in those days. So I chose a car and I called the guy. I said, I've chosen it. This is the car. So 3 days later, the car came. You hear? So I called the guy to thank him. I said, thank you so much because the car has come. I never expected this. In fact, on that day, I was praying for this. He said, wait, wait. He said, the one I sent you, you cannot be driving a Corolla. The one I sent you is for your pastor to be driving you around. Your own is coming tomorrow. Am I talking to you? He said, your own is coming tomorrow. And the following day, that car came. That's the day I realized, whatsoever you are praying for, someone has it. Or what it takes, your name to be mentioned to them, or your face to appear to them. There can be a list of names. Am I talking to somebody here? I remember one time I was praying for business. I said, God, I want to venture business. And I had the whole business there. And I was praying about it. In the evening, I was here. I think it was in 2011 with my wife. And some people came to say, oh, well, they're looking for you. I said, okay. They came to my house and had a meeting. They said, we have come. One lady came from Uganda. And one guy came from Zambia. And they said, we came in Malawi here. And we want to do this project, and people mentioned your name. Now, at that time, people only knew me as a prophet. But somebody mentioned what? My name. Ah, I thought it was a small thing. Lo and behold, that's the biggest breakthrough that I ever had and that began to happen in my life. It was that business. It took me before great people, before presidents. I had big things. That's how things began to change. All it took is someone to mention my name. When you are in the process of preparation, it's not only you who gets prepared, but what God prepares also, he releases them. David, he was being prepared. He was in a place of isolation. No one knew him. Nobody recognized his efforts. Are you aware that David killed a lion before? But did you notice when he met his brother said, who do you think you are? Do you think you can kill Goliath? He had to remind them that, have you forgotten I killed a lion before? It's like people were forgetting all his labor. Nobody saw his efforts. Nobody saw his commitments. Do you understand why? Because that was a moment of preparation. When God is preparing you, it may seem people don't recognize you. It may seem people don't see your efforts. But do not worry with that, because that's what God does when he's preparing somebody. Now listen to this. And I want you to understand very careful, because I am ministering to somebody right now. And this is so personal. Listen to this. When David was being prepared, God also prepared him something. Did you notice he didn't even apply for a job at the state house? The Bible says someone in the royal family, it says in the royal family, they mentioned his name. They said there is a young man, a son of Jesse. His name is called David. He is so skilled in playing cymbal. And he said, I perceive if we pick this one, your majesty, to come here and play music for you. The king said, go and call him. No application, no nothing. Just his name being mentioned. We are entering in a season of Kairos where some of you, your names will be mentioned. Some of you, you'll be shocked how you'll be connected to things you never thought you'd be connected. You enter meetings that you'll be shocked. You will sit in boardrooms you never thought you would sit. Somebody shout in the name of Jesus. Am I talking to you? Somebody say, I'm here, prophet. But what was the secret? Preparation. Then David writes, he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies. Whatsoever God prepared for you, it will manifest this year. Ah, you are received. It's not loud and clear. Whatsoever God prepared for you, it will manifest this year. I prophesy. No more delays. I prophesy. No more delays. But you see the problem? It will not happen when we are passive. It won't happen when we just say, oh, we are praying. No, we have to do something. We have to be involved. And that's where we are coming in. Preparation. So the first way of preparation, it is what I shared with you yesterday. Where you intentionally prepare. In Matthew 3:3, it says, prepare the way of the Lord. Meaning to say that you have a part to do. God may have a way that he wants to do for you. But that way that God wants to make upon you, you have to prepare for it. I want you to read the scripture. All right, just go there and read it. What is it saying?
For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
Prepare what?
Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.
In Isaiah 35:8-10, can you read it?
A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray.
Mm-hmm. It's as even if you're a fool, when God makes a way, even if you're a fool, you don't go astray. Wow. On the way of the Lord. It says, well, as long as it's God who has made the way. It says, even if you're a fool. Did you hear that scripture? It says, and it shall be a highway of the Lord. Did you hear that? It says a highway. I wonder, in those days there were no roads. But scripture says a highway. Are you getting that? Not a small way, a highway. God will make a highway for you. And the Bible says, even if you're foolish, because the way is too much, you won't get astray. Astray means to get lost. So when you're moving on the road, like even if you have missed, you are still on the road. You're not getting it. Somebody said, that's why I'm still around. You have been missing the lane, but you are still on the road. You made mistakes, but you're still. are you here, somebody? It's a highway. It's not a small way where you just, boom, you're already in the bush. No. It's a highway. But the Bible says in this way, it says, are you understanding? It says, it shall be called the way of the Lord. But scripture continues. It says, not even a lion. Read there. In verse 9, it says what?
No lion shall be there.
Imagine.
Nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there.
In verse 10.
And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
Did you hear that? Yes. Do you know sighing? You know what is a sigh? It normally comes because of stress. Yes. Or when you are tired. Did you hear that? It says it will not even be there. It says when God makes a way for you, not even lions, not even poisonous, nothing to harm you shall be found. But did you see what the Bible says? It says prepare for that way. In Matthew 3:3, it says, prepare. There are things which God wants to do, but they need preparation. If there is something we must pray for, it's preparation. So number one, I spoke to you. The first preparation is known as what? Hetoimazo. Which means what? To prepare, to conquer. And whatsoever you conquer, you keep it. If you have your salvation, keep your salvation. Am I talking to somebody right here? This is where the Bible says, guard your salvation with fear and trembling. To guard means you already have it, but you must now protect it. Similarly, Jesus said to a man, he said, see that you are healed. Go and sin no more, or else you will lose your healing. The Bible says, or else something worse. Something worse than this can happen. Now, what does that mean? It means that you can get your miracle, but you can lose it. But hetoimazo, you prepare. Prepare the way of the Lord. Meaning to say, prepare to obtain this way. Prepare to obtain this breakthrough and never lose it. And the second preparation, which I'll be sharing with you tonight, is known as kun. K-U-N. Kun. Kun, it is a preparation of establishment. This is a mystery. Let's go to Amos 7, verse 7 to 8.
Thus he showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people, Israel. I will not pass by them anymore.
All right. And I want you to go to Genesis 2, verse 18 as well.
And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him.
I want you to see something that is very important. I know this scripture has been taught in regards to marriage. But one thing that most people do not understand here is God is promising to make. The word make there is also the word kun. Now, to make, God says, I will make a woman, a suitable help, I will make. Are you here? I will make. The word there is kun, which also represents preparation. In other words, I will prepare. Are you here, somebody? God says, I will what? I will prepare. I will prepare. So God saw it is not good for a man to stay. I will prepare. Now, I want to say something here that is very important. Have you noticed that most believers, when they are asking God, when they are praying, they always think like it is not in the plan of God to give them. It's like you're only asking him to do something to you which he never prepared already. Scripture says, for the things which God has prepared for those who love him. There are things right now already that God has prepared. But the preparation always has to meet the timing of God. There are things which God can only release in his time. And that's why this year is not just a coincidence. When a year where God says it's a kairos, there are things which God has prepared for someone. And when I close my eyes, I see them. Hi-ya-ya. God has prepared a lot for you. It only takes one to realize it and then to claim it. But here's the truth. There is a word known as kun. Scripture says, I have measured my people. I have checked them in the book of Amos. He says, I have checked them like a plumb line. I have looked upon them. What does that mean? Before God does anything, he looks at you, he measures you, he sees if you are ready. Am I talking to somebody right here? I remember one time, God spoke to me to tell someone a prophecy. And I said to her, I said, listen, she's a musician. I said, listen, you are so highly talented. And you have got a passion, but you're not ready. You can have passion, you can have a zeal, but yet not what? Prepared. It's like I am believing God. This now. Preparation. God looks at you and sees preparation. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, let's go there. Let's have from verse 19.
So Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established
exactly
as a prophet of the Lord.
So stop there. So they knew he was what?
Established.
Established. This is kun. Kun is an establishment. When someone is established, to be established, it means properly prepared, ready. When something is established, it has gone through everything. When someone says, my company is a well-established company, it means it has gone through everything. For it to be qualified, an established thing is not just something like, okay, I'm a prophet. No, established, it means he was prepared. Am I talking to you? Now imagine you saying, I'm a man of God. I'm a prophet. I'm a woman of God. But scripture says everyone knew that he was established, meaning he was tested. Scripture hasn't spoken to us what really happened for people to know he was established. But the Bible says everybody knew he was established. I prophesy to you that the Lord will help you through kun. Say with me, say kun. Say it again. Say kun. Preparation for establishment. Ever heard people saying, I've been praying, but it's like I'm not yet established. You can have something that you're doing, but it may not be established. I have seen people who can prophesy, but their prophetic is not yet established. I have seen people with big plans, but their plans are not yet what? Established. So when you are going through a process of establishment, it is a moment of preparation. And this is the most painful moment to go or to get into perfection. So there are people right now who God is preparing. And they don't know why. Because God, when he's preparing you, he wants to establish you. And the Bible says, everybody knew that Samuel was established. How? Any word that he began to speak, it was not falling on the ground. It was coming to pass. But for him to get into that level, he was kunde, prepared for establishment. I can see someone being established this year. Ever heard someone saying, I want to be established financially? Ever heard that? This is not just money for survival. This is dominance. When somebody says, I want to be established, I want my business to be established, I want my family to be established, this is not survival. This is total dominance. It means you are on top of the game. But for that to happen, there is what is known as kun, where God looks up at you and he begins to prepare you. He allows some winds to blow around you. He allows some things to happen around you. But he knows you are going into establishment. Are you hearing me? So I'm being established. I want you to raise up your hand as I prophesy this word over your lives. I decree and declare there is chaos right now and confusion in the kingdom of the enemy. He brought fear to you. He brought confusion. He brought questions. To some of you, he brought doubt. Because of this painful process you have been going through. But because of this revelation that God has brought unto you now, that you are able to understand that it is preparation, I speak your establishment. I declare your establishment. Your marriage will be established this year. Your finances established this year. Your healing will be established this year. Hear me. Establishment does not just deal with the survival. It deals with the dominance. Not only dominance, it also deals with the something permanent. It speaks of authenticity, strengthened, built, unmoved, unshakable. These are things that God wants to do with you this year. If God raise you up, your rising will be unshakable. It will be total dominance. Unquestionable authority. Somebody shout, I'm hearing you, prophet. This is why you may be facing what you are facing. This is why the resistance may be coming. It is because God knows I'm preparing you, not just for you to rise up. I am preparing you for total dominance. I am preparing you for unquestionable authority. I am preparing you for total takeover. This is, my God, I'm talking to someone right now. There's a family, God says, I'm establishing you financially. There's a family watching me right now. God says, I'm establishing your ways. This is Kun. Somebody shout Kun. Are you following? In 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 to 36. Hey, somebody say Kun.
But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it.
Wait a minute. What is this? So Kun deals with establishment. And I want you to hear that. However, this establishment must have a record. The reason why David was standing tall and he says, I'll kill Goliath, it is because he knew that his authority was established. That he would not fail to kill him because he had a track record. Some of you here, you have a track record. You don't even understand how you survived last year. Oh my God, I'm trying to talk to somebody. Some of you here, you were sick before and miraculously God healed you. Somebody say, I have a track record. My God, I'm trying to talk to somebody right now. You know it. But what the enemy does, he shows you the Goliath you are facing now. He shows you the problem you are facing now. So you can forget your track records. Are you not aware that King Saul had defeated dangerous armies before? But when he saw Goliath, he never had a track record. Are you not getting it? Do you know before Goliath, King Saul had fought dangerous battles and God gave him victory? Do you know that? But when he faced Goliath, he forgot the whole tracking record. And that's what happens. Most believers right now, they have forgotten their victories. There was a moment their child was sick. God healed their child. There was a moment they were almost being involved in a very dangerous, fatal accident. God delivered them. But now, they have already what? Forgotten. Because they are facing a Goliath now. It is because that your victories are not yet established. God will prepare you. He will make you go through the lions. He will make you go through the bears. So you can have a track record. When you meet the enemy, when you meet 2026, you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What shall I fear? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though a war may break out, of these I will not be afraid. Somebody shout, Kun. I promise you, you are getting a miracle this year. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? You are winning this year. You are rising this year. You are flying up this year. Somebody shout, nothing will stop me. I am prepared. I have fought with the bears. I have fought with the lions. I am ready. I am ready. Say in Jesus' name. Hear this. The bears you are facing were not just coincidental. The battles you have faced, the lions you met, they were not just by accident. It was to establish you. It was for you to be established in your mind. To know that I know this is my usual. I can meet battles and I will win them all. I can face the Goliaths. I can win them all. Somebody shout, I'm winning. Say, victory is mine. And that's it. The reason why God will allow this to happen, it is because he wants it to be so established in your mind to actually basically know that, you know what, I'm winning. To know, I know why it's going to happen. Because it's now unquestionable. It is so established. But when your victories are not established, you will never win. The victories were not established in the head of King Saul. He was hiding in a tent. Somebody said, my victories are established. Say, I've got tracking records. I have track records. Say, I know it. Listen. In the laws of power of the prophetic, only those who are well established, they rule. If you do not have this precision, you will always fail. It takes one to say, David, why are you going there? He says, I win all the times. Say, David, he says, victory to him was so established. I'm not talking to you. I know what you are facing, sir. You will come out in the name of Jesus. People who are rejecting you, they will look for you. Am I speaking to you? Somebody shout, I know it. I'm winning. Say, victory is mine. So I will have a testimony. Shout again. I will have a testimony. Why would a God... You see, it seemed like David was forgotten and given the sheep to take care of when his brothers were at school. But the Bible says he was being prepared to fight bears, to fight lions, so that the victory in his mind could be what? Established. And all that helped him one day to kill Goliath and become a king. Am I talking to you? He would never become a king if he was never left alone. He could never become a king. He wouldn't even know God would fight for him. How you know I'm being prepared is when you feel this force, where you feel like I'm fighting this alone. When you feel this force, these battles are too much around me. Why is God leaving David alone in the bush? He wants him to face the bears, the lions, because he knows there is one more battle coming, and when he fights this one, he will become a king. Am I talking to somebody right here? Somebody shout, the next battle I face, I'll be elevated. Say, so this one I'm facing now, I will be elevated. If you do not, listen to me, prophetically and spiritually, if you do not attach your price to what you are facing, you will miss it. Listen to me. The principles in the kingdom are always attached to prices. Read your book of Revelation. It says, "If for those who shall overcome, they shall be given a rod of iron. But remain faithful. After these days, the Lord will." Listen, the kingdom of God is full of prices. Any battle you meet and face, you're supposed to be lifted up. The enemy, I've seen him. Right now, I'm sensing the enemy right now. Someone, the enemy has come through finances and he's trying to fight you in every direction. And I'm speaking to you right now. You have nothing. You don't even know what will happen. I know this battle is happening around you, but I have got good news for you. Your elevation is about to manifest. Somebody shout elevation. Sekun. Establishment. Are you following? Let me show you one more example. Esther 4 verse 16.
Go, gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.
Wait a minute. Queen Esther, I heard one lady speaking to me. She said, my father. I said, yes. She said, I received the Esther anointing. I said, what do you mean? I received the Esther anointing for marriage. I said, amen. My friend, the Bible says Esther fasted. And she said, what I'm about to do is against the law. Ay, 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 ay. What I'm about to do is what? What was the law? Number one, the law never allowed women to go and mingle where men were. Two, the law was against the people of Israel to come where the people of the kingdom were, which is today's Germany. Am I talking to you? So the people of Israel were in a foreign land. And the king there was killing everyone from Israel. Am I talking to you? And the Queen Esther, she said, I'm going to meet the king. But before we go, let's prepare. She said, we are fasting. We are what? She said, what am I about to do right now? You have to go through the gates. And guess who's there protecting the gates? Do you know who's responsible for booking appointments? There was a man. And the Bible says the man was responsible for building houses as slaughter houses to use them to kill people of Israel. And imagine this. We're dealing with a woman, not men, a woman. She says, I'm entering into fast. Someone said preparation. She entered into a fasting where her fear disappeared and victory was established in her heart that I'm now going now. Some fastings we fast. We don't just fast because we want God to do a miracle. But we fast until courage comes in. You see, when everybody was like, I'm fasting, I want God to move. Sometimes We don't want God to move. We want to move ourselves. This stage, God did not move. It was Esther who moved. Am I talking to you? She went in a fasting. She said, this fast we are preparing. She prepared her heart. She prepared herself. She says, if God will save me, it's fine. If he will not, if I perish, I perish. This was a true woman on fire. And guess what? She goes to the king. The Bible says doors were opening. Nobody blocked her way. Nobody was found to say, where are you going? Soldiers were just watching at her. Say, madam, you can pass. Somebody shout, coon. Places, checkpoints, where soldiers were standing, protecting. They said, oh, where are you going? So I'm meeting the king. You can pass. I'm talking of a Jew, an Israeli, who they are being killed on that day. She did something against the law. It was against the orders, the laws of physics. Everything was suspended. On that moment, somebody is coming from preparation. She has just fasted for 3 days and for 3 nights. Her heart is ready as she walks in with boldness. She went in as a daughter of a slave. And when she was walking out, she was a wife of a king. The moment she stepped in the palace, the king says, I want to marry you. Am I talking to someone right here? The moment she entered the house, the palace, the king changed his thinking. He says, where did I see you before? Are you serious? He said, you look familiar. The king said what? He said, you look what? And then the king, the Bible says, even the king says, oh, the perfume. You see, when favor comes to you, even if you forgot to put perfume, the man will feel it. You say, by the way, what perfume are you using? Somebody shout favor. But you see, everybody, what they see is the Queen Esther. What they don't see is the preparation. Until fear disappeared, until it was so established, she said, I'm going to meet a king. She wasn't going to become a wife of a king. And I want you to understand this. She wasn't going to become a wife of a king. She was going to talk to the king that they should stop killing her people. Am I talking to you? She was not going there to say, I'm going there to be. No, she was going there to talk to the king. But things changed. She became a wife of a king. And she became the one stopping the killings. Woman on fire. I think she was a woman on fire, that woman. The problems, are you preparing? Are you fasting? In the season of waiting, are you fasting? Are you praying? Some things will not need God to move. They will need you to move. But for that to happen, it will require preparation. Are you fasting? Are you praying? Are you waiting? Or you are giving up already? Or you are tired? Or your mind is saying, you know what? I don't think I can do this anymore. We need preparation. Somebody shout preparation. Say it again. Say preparation. Lamentation 3 verse 25.
The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him.
The Lord is good to those who wait for him. To the soul who seeks him. I can sense it's your moment. I can sense it's your time.